Time for Appraise This. The Flick and Frack of Nick and Neck join us on Tuesday mornings. Of course, you'll find them on the web at TQ, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, TQ. I am having a hard time with my mouth this morning. TQH.com on the web.
I usually find when you're having trouble with your mouth, it's good to keep it shut.
But I can't. It's my job. It's my job.
Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There we have you both on board here. And it is a sunny morning here, finally. And our temperature is a balmy 39 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, we've had 18 straight days of below normal temperatures. 18 straight.
Wow.
So what the heck? What else? You know, what could we have done outside? We've had pretty crummy weather since this whole coronavirus thing started anyway. So we've all been confined to our houses. But anyways, enough complaining. Enough complaining. You know, you just got to deal with it and deal with it. But now, before we get on to appraising, I have to say something here. Mm-hmm. I have to say something about that silver chef of yours.
Oh. Yes.
I went to the chili recipe, the award-winning chili recipe. Silverchef.com is where Greg plies his trade on the internet. What's interesting about the chili recipe is when I got there is that basically the recipe that you put up there yields 3 quarts. Well, as an individual, of course, I didn't want to make 3 quarts, but I did make it. And I just narrowed it down to make so I had like 3 or 4 servings, and it was excellent, Greg. So I just wanted you to know that because it was excellent. So you can make it as hot and spicy as you want. That's the great thing about this recipe. So anyways, yeah.
And that video is going up on Wednesday, the award winning chili. So that the video itself will go up on Wednesday, and we have the other two videos up there for Greg, the white bean chicken chili and then the vegetarian. So there's a little bit for everybody.
And the secret is also you can make the full recipe and it freezes. You freeze it in whatever portions you want and take it out.
I couldn't for this reason because unlike most people nowadays, when I first heard the news stories about all the meat packaging plants starting to close down, I went out and got plenty of meat and hamburger and stuff like that and put it in seal in packs. So my freezer section is shut. But it's not that hard to take a look at the recipe and narrow it down to what you want to do. But anyways, the website once again is the silverchef.net. It's a great website, and he's got a Facebook page and everything.
Thank you. It's evolving. I will say that after each week, I look at it, and as the recipes increase, I realize I need to make it a little bit more accessible, easily accessible. So between myself and our IT guy, I call him a wizard. He is an absolute genius. He's the one who designed the site, and it's really a very easy site to get around, and I hope people will go there because you'll be able to hear all of the podcasts that we've done so far. This week will be episode 14. I can't believe I've been doing 14 weeks of podcasts now.
Well, congratulations. It's a nice site. It's a great site. And if you like to cook and you like to dabble in cooking, it's a great place to go. Now on to the appraisal guys. I have a question to ask for you, and this is going to sound like a stupid question, but I've asked plenty of those in my life, and I'm not embarrassed to ask them. With the crisis that we're in right now, the pandemic crisis, is there anything that people can hold on to that someday in the future to represent what is happening during this crisis will become anything of value, or is it just too early to tell?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question. And I think probably, for me personally, I would say not so much as far as the stuff goes. I think more the if anything becomes collectible out of this, it's going to be some of the things that represent this time period, which is what happens with all nostalgia. It's something that represents a time period. But as far as the regular stuff of everyday life or jewelry or anything that is a commodity, I would say no. But if there is something that will become collectible from this horrible scourge, then it's probably going to be something that's literally related to this time period.
Well, you know, what we're doing here is we have a running, since this all started, we have 6 weeks worth, and it's all on one page. We update it every day. It's a running history of from when all the shutdowns and everything, the emergency started, and it's going to go through, and then we're going to save it, then we're going to offer it to area libraries digitally. Because I think that's what people can take from this era. Take pictures of you and your family, what you did, sure. and headlines in the newspapers and stuff, and put them together in a nice little portfolio because they become a historic document.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm afraid some of the headlines in the newspaper are going to be great fodder for humor, even in the future.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even if you look back at the Spanish flu, it's not like there's a lot of Spanish flu memorabilia. Yeah. That was, you know, 100 years ago, and the same with the plague. You know, when you look at things that have happened historically, it's not so much the memorabilia or the stuff that goes along with it that people collect. It is more the historical data, and that's exactly where you're going, Marshall, is down that road to help tell the story of what happened. And I think that people taking photographs and saying this so that especially younger kids that are going through this, this is a hopefully once in a 100-year span that this happens, is that, you know, we won't be as caught off guard in the future, or if this comes back in the fall, you know, we're going to know, and we're going to have things in place that are going to move forward. So this is just something that hit.
One of the dangers of something a time period is that somebody will try to come up and manipulate and create a market for something. I will hearken back to Beanie Babies, which is,
yeah,
they try to make something collectible that really wasn't collectible, because the true definition of a collectible is something that comes up that was never really meant to be collected, but when found in excellent condition, has a market. And the more anything that's manufactured is not really going to hold its own in the future. And we've proven that time after time with things like the collector plates, which they say only 5,000 fired. Well, yeah, 5,000 firing days. Oh, how many plates can you fire in a day?
In a day. Right.
So, I mean, manufactured collectibles are one thing. Historic collectibles are always going to be relevant.
You know, I look an eye on news things, and I think that people who save certain things from the newspapers, from certain climatic events, is it worth anything monetarily? No, but it is worth, you know, people, you don't have to save just to make money. You put things together and you pass it down through family history or town history. I mean, I think you guys realize, I think more than ever, that there's many different sides to collecting, no matter what it is.
Everything has value. Some of it is historic value, which doesn't necessarily make it monetarily valuable, but it's still collectible.
Right. Or there's comedic value, you know, like the whole headline of Drink Drano and COVID will go away. So, you know, there's a lot of this through this whole pandemic. If you're talking headlines and what's going on in the newspapers or companies coming out and saying, no, don't do this, is that I think that there is that side of it as well, of telling the story of what it was like to go through the last 7 weeks, 8 weeks. And we're still not out of it. So, you know, there's a lot that's still going on, but it's not like people are making collectible masks or things.
Here's
people
a perfect,
are making them.
Here's a perfect example of what we're talking about. The Life magazine of John F. Kennedy being assassinated. We see that it's probably next to the Marilyn Monroe Life magazine or the Man on the Moon landing. It's probably the biggest piece of ephemera collectible that people have. Now, we see it a lot. We've had to appraise it a lot, but it does not have any...
doesn't bring a lot.
monetary value to speak of.
It
However...
has, it has emotional it and is, sentimental value.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And that in itself is a value that we have to consider. So it's well, like I always say, I can put a price on your...
part of the monetary.
Yeah, I can put a price on your grandmother's... China, but I can't put a price on that memory of you eating pumpkin pie on it every Thanksgiving as a child.
Well, you talk.
So
you talk.
That's
about,
a different value.
Yeah, you talk about headlines, though, Tim. This one got me the other day, and I'm not making fun of it because it's, but it's just plain a stupid headline. 2 million chickens will be killed because of lack of employees. Well, those 2 million chickens were going to be killed anyway. Now it is a story of waste, but what it points out is the absurd waste of the food chain in this country, where you can't figure out some way, if you can't process chickens at the plant, where somehow those chickens can be transported someplace and processed with by the miller or whoever. And, you know, it's just one of those headlines that stood out, and I just said to myself, Jesus, we live in crazy times.
Right. And oil, you know, hitting a negative number per, you know, or the, you know, the bottom falling out of the oil market. I mean, everything that's going on is just, it's a real topsy-turvy, upside-down, crazy time. Now, you know, it's hopefully going to turn around as things start to open back up and where we're going. And that's the next thing that we're looking at. Interestingly enough, the things that are selling at auction, a lot of the pop culture things, a lot of, you know, some of the luxury goods that we talked about last week, there was just an auction of comic books and comic art. And it was some of the lesser known, I didn't know of Ant-Man and, you know, Iron Man I've heard of, but some of these other, the Living Brain and all these other things from these pop culture collectible comic books, these books that were selling for $3,000 and $5,000 and $10,000, breaking records for their titles. And I think that people are just, you know, they're looking at that and saying, you know, I want to put my money into this. I think that's what we're seeing, because whenever we see a downturn in the marketplace too, is that people jump out of putting things in the stock market and putting things into tangible goods that they think are going to go up. So we're going to see that. But as far as going back to your original question, will we see anything? I don't know. I don't think people want to commemorate this time, just like all the other, you know, Spanish flu and the plague that I mentioned earlier, is that I think people will say, oh, because we're going to be still living with that. There's still going to be the flu. And every time everybody gets the flu, they're going to be thinking of, oh my God, is this coronavirus? Because that virus will be part of our whole culture now. And I think we're going to see more of people using masks and hopefully, for the betterment, washing their hands more and better personal hygiene.
So if you think about it, what are the memorable items that have increased in value from, let's say, the 1918 pandemic? And photography. Photography is something that captures a moment in time forever. And if you look at some of the great photographs of the past century, you will notice that they are from a specific period of time. the soldier or the young girl in Vietnam, that the naked girl that was running, who was on with the napalm that was on fire. That is an iconic thing that always, and that photo does come up occasionally for auction in a photo sale.
The couple on Times Square.
Yeah. Those sort of things are the memorable items, the memorabilia, if you will, of time periods, I think, that are going to continue to hold an increase in their value, because that is definitely a frozen period in time. And if you look at some of the amazing photographs of the first responders, of the medical responders that have taken place during this time period, I believe, if anything, those are going to be the items that will come up for auction at some point.
And they tell the story.
I have to laugh. You mentioned about brain. For the minute you mentioned about the brain, it brought me back to 1962, one of my favorite science fiction movies, The Brain That Wouldn't Die.
No, really. I saw it for 25 cents on a Saturday afternoon at the Fostoria movie theater.
I've seen it so many times. I actually have a copy of it, because it's just so campy. And somewhere I know in my memorabilia, probably destroyed now because it was my mother's house as my brother's, but I used to have a poster for it. The brain that wouldn't die.
I'm sure if you YouTube it, it'll come up.
Yeah.
Greg, we'll have to check Live Auctioneers, see if that's come up. The brain that
wouldn't die. What a movie. All right. Well, hey, we've died because we've run out of time here, but
there we go.
We will speak to you guys next week. Stay safe and sound down there in Florida.
You as well, my friend. Have a good week.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Tim Luke, Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web.